Well, welcome everybody to Real Estate Connections ATL 2-year anniversary radio show. I am so excited to be here with three of really my favorite people. So today I have brought, first of all, let me introduce, we have Bev Finello from Keller Williams and President-elect of the Women's Council of Realtors. Hello, Bev.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for having me today. I'm excited.
We are delighted to be here. Wesley Boyd from Wells Fargo. Hello, Wesley.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing great. And Ashley Testa from Allstate. Hello, Ashley.
Hi, Peter.
Well, first of all, I have to say that we are very excited because Thursday, October 4th, is the 2-year anniversary for Real Estate Connections, and it's not just an ordinary event. The event is going to be presented by NAREP, and for the people that don't know what that stands for, NAREP is the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals, and they're absolutely excited to be with us on this. And as everybody knows, we typically every month have a different real estate office that we feature, but this time, instead of having a real estate office, we are featuring the organization Women's Council of Realtors Atlanta, and I've got with me the president-elect. So let's start. Bev, we are so excited to have your organization. Why don't you tell us, people who aren't familiar with the Women's Council of Realtors and your chapter specifically, what that's all about.
Women's Council of Realtors has been in existence since 1938, and we are the 12th largest women's professional organization in the U.S., and we have about 14,000 members, and we have 280 chapters.
And last week I was at your monthly meeting, and if I got the right term, is the Atlanta chapter, is it the flagship chapter? Is that what I kept hearing them say?
We are the flagship chapter of Georgia, yes.
So tell the people who don't know, what does that mean?
That means we were the very first. We have 13 chapters in the state, and we were the very first chapter in Atlanta, and we were one of the largest.
One of the things I remember was probably about a year or so ago, I got invited to my first Women Council of Realtors meeting, and what I was surprised was that there are actually men at these meetings also. So for people who are just interested in the real estate community, tell us kind of if there are any special rules or who is welcome at the meetings.
Well, we do not discriminate. We do allow men. In fact, we have a male president this year. We do require our members to be realtors, meaning that they are a member of the National Association of Realtors, and that they have an affiliation with a board.
Okay. One of the things that I noticed is really the distinction between a realtor and an agent. And for the people out there that don't know the distinction, can you tell us what the difference is?
Well, when you're a realtor, you have to abide by the code of ethics from the National Association of Realtors. And that code of ethics is very, you know, it's very strict. So there's, you know, there we feel that realtors are just, you know, uphold the highest standards in our industry.
And that's great. I appreciate that. It, you know, for myself being a CPA, after having to go through an exam and having a certain form of ethics that you have to abide by, you really appreciate that in all other professions, that people are willing to go the extra effort to be able to have that distinction.
I agree. So, I agree.
All right, so let's go to our next guest here, Wesley Boyd from Wells Fargo. Hello, Wesley.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So, Wesley, tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been in the mortgage business?
I've been in the mortgage business for about 12 years now. Worked for many big banks and small, you know, community lenders as well. Spending some very exciting times for the last 12 years, a lot of transition, a lot of changes. It's been good.
So we all know there's been lots of changes in the world of lending. I'm a former banker myself. Why don't you tell me what you would see maybe one of the biggest changes from when you started to today?
Regulation. Just the very different regulatory environment that we're in right now. And a lot of it's for the positive, you know, looking at the best interest of the consumer, and which was much needed, I think, you know, a lot of the new regulation favors the consumer for, you know, transparency and that sort of thing with disclosures, and I think a lot of it's working out very well.
As an investor myself, I remember when I was getting some loans when I was flipping homes, and what amazed me was that there were a lot of loan products out there that you didn't have to, like, really verify your income, the stated income. And, you know, I remember in the banking when rules change, sometimes things were difficult. And so I'm sure as the market has changed and probably the importance of actually verifying and getting bank statements and stuff, what's been your experience, and has it changed? Are people getting used to having to supply more information?
Definitely, we verify a lot more information these days. And, you know, at first, it was a big challenge. You know, there's a lot of resistance at first. But now, very much so, it's not a difficult request at all to ask for the standard documentation, verifying income and assets and everything about the customer's credit. It seems to be a very normal conversation now, which is nice. And I think it actually will be very good for our lending industry, for, you know, much more responsible lending, which I believe was needed.
For a lot of people, I think we were so laxed, and I think we went through a transition when things got kind of really difficult, even for good borrowers to get in. And so I think we're getting closer to the middle, and which will be good for everybody. Okay. So, all right, there's my sweet Ashley. Hello, Ashley.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for having me.
Delighted to be here. Ashley, tell us a little bit about yourself and who you're with.
I'm with Allstate Insurance, the Lincoln Wells agency out of Woodstock. We're a 43-year-old book of business, and John and Nancy Wells own the agency. They've owned it for the past 5 years. We're a premier service agency, which means we're in the top 2% of the state, top 10% of the country. So we're very proud of that.
That's awesome. Now, Ashley, tell us a little bit how you made the transition, or kind of where you started from your work career as kind of an entrepreneur, which I love entrepreneurs, to how you got to where you are today.
I did. When in my early 20s, I ran my father's business. He had some health issues, and so I took over his business for him, which was actually a body shop, which was interesting. And from there, I became a collision adjuster in the field, and eventually, just in the past couple years, became an agent. I've been an agent with Allstate for 2 years now. And so as an agent, it kind of gives you the very unique perspective of having the claims experience and, you know, having the product knowledge on the agent side.
Awesome. And you're such a people person. I'm sure the transition was not difficult, was it?
No, it really wasn't. I have enjoyed working in the insurance industry for a while. I enjoyed it even as a collision adjuster. And Allstate's a great company, and they make it easy. They make it fun.
Well, you know what? I think the important thing is people have to trust and feel comfortable that when they need you, you're going to
be
there.
Absolutely. And all of my customers have my cell phone. Everybody that knows me knows I work, you know, extended hours, and I'm available. And with my, you know, claims experience, I that's kind of where I'm able to shine, is when something happens. You know, I've been in that arena enough to know how to help and how to handle it and kind of advocate for the customer.
I think one of the things that kind of ties all of us here together is the trust. You know, we're dealing with clients, whether they're buying the home or they're getting the mortgage or the insurance side, that's a big part of their life, and it might be the biggest investment. And it's stressful for a lot of people. You know, we're used to doing it and being around a lot of people, and we forget sometimes that it can be uncomfortable. And so I think when you're out there and people get to see who you are, and the more time you spend with them and they trust you, it just makes it a whole lot easier for us.
Absolutely.
So, all right, Bev, let's come back to you. Real estate market is heating up. I think, you know, we always say about 3-4 years ago, we saw signs when you went through Atlanta, 110,000, 115,000 homes available. Last week was about 42,000, and a lot of people are projecting we're going to be at about 30,000 by the end of the year. So talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the market, how hot you're seeing it, and any advice you have for buyers or sellers.
Well, you mentioned that, Peter, that the supply of available homes on the market is down. It's actually about 40% down. Now, that was a June number. Come this year compared to last year, 40% down. That's quite a change. from what we've seen in the past. And because of it, you know, you've always heard about that supply and demand. Well, because of that, we're seeing not only we're seeing activity go up because we have less homes, so everybody wants one, and because interest rates are great and everything's going well, and so prices are starting to go up as well. And prices were up about 6% second quarter this year compared to last year. And that's just great news.
You know, one of the things, it's educating your buyers, because for the last couple of years we've all heard it's a buyer's market. And, you know, not only are homes the levels down, but the amount of homes that are move-in ready is even lower. And so if you have a buyer coming to you, what are you trying to do to educate them about, especially depending on where they want to move to, how the market has changed?
Well, we have, in my office, we have a statistician that compiles all of the multiple listing information for us into these wonderful graphs. And so when I work with a buyer, when I have a consultation with a buyer, one of the first things I do is show them, because we have that information by area. So if they want to be in Buckhead, then I show them this is how much compared to last year we have as far as inventory goes. So what that means for you is if you put in an offer, you may have three or four people also, other buyers having offers too. So that means we can't go in at 10, 20% less than sales price.
And that's just really re-educating. And for people who maybe had thought they couldn't sell their house or they might be a little underwater as prices go up, what are you saying to people who are thinking about listing their houses, whether it's a good time to do that or not?
Well, it's a great time. And I tell them the reason why is because inventory is low. And in the fall, inventory is always a little lower anyway. So if you list your house right now, you're in a great position to sell because we've got buyers out there looking for homes and they can't find anything. So this is a great time. You have to price your home at market value, just like you always did. That hasn't changed.
It's funny, though. People go, oh, this is like a business. You know, I deal with a lot of investors, and it amazes me how people are like, you mean you need a business plan? You mean you got to have an exit strategy? And I think real estate is kind of an interesting industry because there was, for such a period of time when inventory or real estate was going up, you didn't have to be really good at this. And when I talk to investors, I say, it's not a question of whether you're going to make money. It was a question of how much. And now with prices having really declined or now being stable and up a little bit, people have had to really treat this as a business instead of a hobby in order to stay in it. So, all right, Wesley, the world of mortgages, what are you seeing from an activity standpoint? And we talk about Atlanta being a hot market, and what's been your experience?
It's definitely a very busy market right now, no question asked. It's right now the market's full of a lot of refinances as well as purchases, and it's busy. There's no other way really to say it. It's every day. There's a phone, you know, I get phone calls all day long. You know, homeowners want to apply to buy homes or refinance their mortgages. And it's nice because it hasn't been like that, you know, for the past couple of years. And it's very easy to be able to consultate with the customers and advise them on what's, you know, the best mortgage product and tool for their needs, depending upon, you know, what their goals of the home is. So if it's a starter home and they're looking to stay in the home for a short period of time and move on, we may discuss things like, you know, adjust rate mortgages, you know, five-year ARMs, things like that, because the rates are unbelievably low.
So one of the things I know that people are concerned about, and I get asked, are appraisal issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are wondering, especially if they're going in and doing some renovations, that they don't want to be outpriced from and afraid that when the appraisal comes in. What has been your experience the last couple months? Have you seen appraisals being an issue?
Personally, I have not. I have not had a lot of issues with appraisals. Now, if the property needs, you know, renovations and so forth, there are particular programs and products for that. Wells Fargo has a specialist that handles that. But in regards to homeowners just looking to buy, you know, the primary home and so forth, as long as they've done their due diligence and their home inspections, which most of the times they're doing, at the beginning stages of the application anyway, they'll know if the home needs renovations of some sorts or if it does not, and apply for the appropriate loan program.
And one of the advantages of being in a bigger bank is that I know you guys offer, you have a lot of great products, including most of the renovation products, the 203Ks. We actually have done some work as licensed contractors and have used Wells Fargo, and it's been very easy to deal with. So give you guys a little plug as for that. So Ashley, okay, we've got a lot of real estate investors.
Yeah.
Come to Real Estate Connections or listening. What would you say to them as far as things they might want to think about when they've got some investment properties? What things they should be thinking about from an insurance standpoint that could help them?
The biggest thing, obviously, is you want to make sure that you've got the builder's risk in place. It's very important. You know, there's certain risk associated with homes that are under construction or being renovated, and you want to make sure that all of that is insured properly. Also, most carriers, Allstate included, if the home is going to be vacant for more than 30 days, the policy has to be written a certain way. So you want to make sure that you're communicating with the agent about how long the policy is going to, or excuse me, how long the home is going to be vacant, what type of renovations are being done. All of that goes into making sure that the policy is issued correctly and that the coverages are there that need to be there.
Can you talk a little bit about builder's risk insurance? I know before we got into flipping homes and contracting, I had never heard of that. Of course, then I became very familiar, and I have a lot of investors that come to me, and they're like, what is, I think I've heard what builder's risk is. So kind of explain to people why, what that is and why they need it.
Basically, the builder's risk is, as I was saying, is specifically geared towards homes that are under renovation, not necessarily under complete construction, but although you can write it that way as well, but under renovation, like the flippers and the investment buyers that get in there and they want to do, have the subcontractors come in and do, different things to update the home. There are certain risks involved with having contractors and subcontractors, having the home vacant. The builder's risk is a little bit different than the standard homeowner's policy or a standard tenant dwelling, in that it gives you the liability coverage towards having the workers there, having contractors in the house, and having it empty.
Awesome. And like I said, it's a great distinction because when the renovations are becoming more and more prevalent. I use a quote in some of my presentations that the National Association of Realtors said that in 2012, one of three homes that are sold needed renovations or major repairs. And so that number is pretty staggering when you think about it, that if people aren't familiar with renovations, renovation lending, and some of the insurance things, they're letting one out of three deals go. I mean,
yeah.
I said that yesterday when I was speaking in a continuing education class, and you could see the looks on some of the realtors. They were like, what? And so being out there and educating people, I think it's a great thing. So let's go one time more around, and then we're going to talk about networking and real estate connections. Bev, let's start with you again. You're with Keller Williams. You're dealing with buyers and sellers. Anything, if somebody's listening, that you want to make sure that they're aware of in the real estate market today?
Well, I think we really touched on that earlier, and that the buyers, I want to make sure that they understand that this market is not what it was last year, not even what it was 6 months ago. And there's just not the amount of homes on the market. So when you look at homes, have your criteria very, let's look at the ones that you really are interested in, and then let's make offers very quickly, because you have two or three other people right behind you. They probably looked at the house yesterday when you're looking at it today. So, don't wait. Make those offers. And, I would never allow a client to ever make an offer that doesn't match what market value is. I do a lot of analysis before, because they always say, what would you want to offer on this house? But I've done my homework before. to know what they should offer on the house. Is this a good price? Is it not a good price?
Great. And how about, you know, we know for a while that short sales and foreclosures have been a significant part of the market. What are you seeing as a change in the, let's say, percentages of homes that are falling and how our clients or buyers dealing with that?
Well, we are still looking at about a little over 40% of our sales in our current market still being what we call distressed. There's a greater percentage now of short sales than there were the same time last year, and there's a fewer amount of foreclosures that we're seeing on the market. As you mentioned, the foreclosures and the short sales in many cases are in, they need to be renovated. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that that I've noticed is the short sales, are the banks are getting better and not taking as long to make his decision on some of those short sales. Are you noticing that?
Yes. I actually had one approved. I was working with a buyer and just had one approved within a week. That was, like, stellar. We were
that's
all
awesome.
Shocked.
Did you give a kind of a hallelujah when that happened? I mean, that's great news. Because for a while, it could take 6 months to a year. And unless you were an investor and really didn't care how long before the project came, but if it was your primary residence, a lot of people stayed clear of those just because they need to have a better idea of when they could be in the house. So, Wesley, somebody comes to you and they're saying, you know, I'm thinking about buying a house, but I'm really not sure. We all know we're in historic low rates. What would be your advice to somebody who's thinking about whether to buy now, whether it's a good time or they should be waiting?
My best advice really is to get fully pre-qualified. And what I mean by that is, you know, not only complete a loan application, but also provide your documents, you know, your income and your assets and so forth, so you can truly know what your buying power is. You know, we take it a step further, and we will issue a loan commitment even without a property address, so that buyer, when they're out shopping for homes and they're making offers to sellers, they actually have an underwritten loan commitment, which makes them a strong buyer. And so if there are multiple buyers, as Beverly was saying, and making offers on the property, there's nothing better than offering a loan commitment when you issue your offer.
So explain to people the difference between being pre-approved and pre-qualified.
Gotcha. Yeah, sometimes I get wrapped up in, you know, in 12 years, I understand it fully. And you know, the difference is a lot of times applicants will come to me and they'll want to do the application, get, you know, have their credit, you know, checked and so forth, and then give you estimate figures of income and assets and that sort of thing, and just get a general idea of what they want. And so they will issue a pre-approval letter, meaning that it's their credit's approved, and assuming all the information they gave us correct, then yes, they can buy the house. But there's, you know, the mortgage lending world is so complex these days. I advise to fully disclose yourself and have the file actually underwritten by an underwriter. And what that means is that an underwriter is going to fully analyze your, not only your credit profile, but your income, your assets, and so forth, and give you a legitimate underwriting approval. And it's totally different.
Right. It's just like sometimes I'm speaking and I talk about two different Fannie Mae products. They mm-hmm. sound similar, the Fannie Mae Home Path mm-hmm. and the Fannie Mae Home Style. There's just the path and the style, and yet they're very different loans. The Home Path, you've got to have, it has to be a Fannie Mae home, and the Home Style Fannie Mae can be any home, doesn't have to be Fannie Mae. And you can do luxury items and you can do structural items, which you can't do on the Home Path. And so sometimes people, especially when things sound similar, like a pre-approval and pre-qualified, if you're not in that, there's a huge difference, and you want to make sure you're going in with your best foot.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that many of the potential buyers, you know, don't realize that we're going to be looking at. You know, they may have deductions on a paycheck, for example, that they may not think nothing about it, but we look at it, and it can affect our debt-to-income ratio, and in other words, affect the homeowners or the potential homeowners' buying power.
So one of the things that I've seen that have sometimes killed deals that I'd love to hear you talk about is at first somebody gets their pre-approval or pre-qualified, and they don't realize that before closing they're going and make a purchase or borrow money or do something that really changes their credit. And so can you talk a little bit about from the time they give you the information to what they need, a borrower needs to really be careful of that could kill the deal when it gets time to close?
Yeah, it's real simple. At the time of application, when you apply, your credit is provided. Everything should remain as is from the time that you apply, versus you don't want to go out and start shopping for furniture and buy a new car in the midst of it all, and then next thing you know, we've got a new, you know, for example, a new car payment that's $500 that destroys your debt-to-income ratio for, you know, as it relates to the approval. Those are things that I have seen occur a few times, and that's the best advice I can give is, you know, when that snapshot is taken of your credit profile at the time of application, leave everything the same. Of course, you know, if you get a raise, that's great. You know, if you save more money in the bank, that's great. You know, but take out debt or, you know, that's not good.
Right. And some people just don't realize, they think that once they have a pre-approval, they think that means it's a yes no matter what. And so I'm sure it's educating the people so that they don't do anything that they intentionally didn't mean to do something negative to their credit, but
If there are situations, you know, I've had a customer recently where her car broke down and she had it was totaled, you know, no choice but to go buy a car. You know, best advice there is, you know, consult with your mortgage professional that, if I do this, how would it affect my approval? So at least when we're, we know that you're taking out a new debt and we can reevaluate your credit and make sure that your approval is good, so we don't go all the way to the closing table and or get to the 11th hour, as we like to say, and this new debt's disclosed.
Nobody likes surprises right at the end. That makes all of us kind of get a little crazy. We've worked so hard to make a deal work, and then at the end, something beyond our forces makes the deal go south. So, Ashley, one of the things that people talk about, especially with homes and some of the flooding and natural things that have been happening, rates going up. And so if somebody's coming to you or getting a renewal, what can they expect, or what is there anything specific they should be thinking about that could help them?
Well, obviously, we live in a very storm-prone state. As any agent can tell you, the hailstorms here in Georgia for the past several years have been a major issue. Lots of catastrophes. When you're shopping for insurance, I mean, you have to think about if you've had a claim, you know, in the past several years, even if it was catastrophe-related, it is going to affect you. Allstate has a great program now on their homeowners product where it's a claim rate guard, where we actually allow you to have one claim every 5 years that's kind of forgiven. It's the homeowner's version of accident forgiveness. So you can have that hail damage claim or, you know, something like that, and you're able to still keep your claims free discount, and you're able to keep your rate the same. Honestly, though, for those of us that have already had to experience that, I mean, it is going to affect the policy. I mean, there's kind of no way around that. It's just hopefully you haven't had, you know, multiple issues with all the storms that we've had.
I understand. I always say, if you're driving with somebody and they're not great, please don't let them drive your car, right? And make sure that they don't do anything kind of that's going to affect your future financial ability. So. Yes. All right, so let's go around. We're going to talk next about networking, one of my favorite topics. And so,
mine too.
Don't you love that? I love business, and as I always say, my favorite color is green, cash green. And I think that's probably something that's true for all of us at this table. So, Bev, let's start with you. Why don't you talk a little bit about your networking? And you've been a great supporter of Real Estate Connections. And if you could talk maybe a little bit about one of your success stories from Real Estate Connections.
Well, there have been many. I didn't know anything about Real Estate Connections until Peter actually came to a women's council meeting. And I got to meet Peter, and then I started going to all the Real Estate Connections meetings, and just they're fabulous. I think one of the, for I've met so many great, not only other agents that I did not know, but I've also met just some great home inspectors, some insurance agents, mortgage lenders, just a relationship. It's more than just, in a normal networking meeting, you just say, well, here's my card, here it is. But you actually develop relationships. You have lunches and coffees. And that's what I see your organization being very different from most of the other networking events that I've attended in the past.
We always like hearing that. That's one of the things we try to do is our goal is 25% of the room is new people. And there's different ways we go about that, one being featuring different real estate offices, so you've got new blood. Another thing is I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit. I think as a business person, if you don't use LinkedIn, you're missing an opportunity. And by joining the different groups, I always talk about if you join a group, you typically should have some type of common interest with your people, whether it's real estate, whether realtors, mortgage, insurance. And so you get more people involved, and the tent has to keep getting bigger and bigger to make sure that it's not the same people all the time. Bev, can you give an example of maybe somebody you've met or a piece of business you've gotten from attending Real Estate Connections? Maybe a specific connection for you.
Well, I'll tell you about Shauna Smith. And I think I can't remember the name of her company right off the bat.
I think it's Global Expansion, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually attended my first meeting. I attended the dinner that you host at the end. And we sat across from each other. And I really, one of my goals for Women Council of Realtors for next year is to really expand our presence with social media, because we've struggled with that in the past, and I want every agent in Atlanta to know about Women Council of Realtors, whether it be our chapter or one of the other chapters. And Shauna that's basically her company. She brands and loves working with realtors. So meeting her was just the person I needed to meet, and now she will be on our board next year. And she will be our doing communications, and she'll be heading up that committee. So I couldn't be more excited, and she is absolutely thrilled. So that was probably one of the best connections I've made there.
Shauna's great, and she's been a supporter right from the beginning, and her enthusiasm is contagious, and she's she always puts a smile on your face when you see her, and she's very passionate about social media and understanding the importance. We're in a different world than when I grew up and learned marketing. If you're not doing social media, you're just missing a whole lot out there. So, Wesley, talk a little bit about the networking. It's interesting. Before you came to Real Estate Connection the first time, I knew you because of a lot of the blogs or the different things I had seen that you were on social media for. So talk a little bit about some of the networking you do, and you've come to most Real Estate Connections, why you come, and maybe a success story.
Sure. I'm on LinkedIn as well, and a lot of the networking I was doing was a lot of social media networking, LinkedIn, Facebook, and that sort of thing, which is how I met you, Peter. And you're right. I guess we were, connected on both for a good 3 to 4 months before I ever came to Real Estate Connections. Shame on me. But coming to the events are awesome. Kind of like what Beverly said, I've never seen a networking event so well done and so well organized and so consistently well done and well organized month after month. And all the professionals that are there are just that, very professional and very, diverse group of professionals in regards to different industries that can all work together, insurance, real estate agents, as well as mortgage professionals. And I think I've seen renovation companies and all sorts that all tie together. And meeting all of these connections have been very good because it's very educational, actually, for me. One of the success stories that I'll kind of give you off the bat, or one of the best relationships I've developed there is actually Ashley. I've learned a lot about insurance. you know, I have insurance on my stuff, you know, but you think you know about insurance, and you think that, you know, Ashley and I talk about this all the time, you know, you can't try to get a homeowner's policy at the 11th hour just before just before you're closing. It doesn't work like that.
Will you say that again for any other mortgage people listening?
And, you know, I was guilty of that as well. You just don't think of the things that all the due diligence that they do as well. So I've actually, it's been for me, I guess probably the biggest success story is just the educational piece of it, is learning what goes into, you know, listing a home and, you know, writing a homeowner's insurance policy and everything else. It's been awesome. You know, and just all the contacts that I've made have been great as well.
Well, it's a great team. And like people said, that we're all in the same industry. We're all touched with similarities, but yet we all have specialties. And so it's really important to be able to rely on other people's knowledge and not feel like you have to know it all, but by having contacts that when somebody needs the insurance or needs the mortgage or needs the realtor, that you're able to, A, you've spent time, you trust them, and you feel good about referring that piece of business to them. So, all right, Ashley, I think I just saw you give Wesley about $20 after he said that.
I did.
Was it 20?
It,
okay,
right?
I thought so. But talk a little bit about, you've been great about coming to Real Estate Connections.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about networking, why you continue to come to Real Estate Connections, and maybe a success story that you've gotten from attending.
Well, everybody that knows me knows that I'm a big networker. I call it my networking circuit. I go to, you know, multiple events every month, and yours is definitely my favorite. You really do have just very quality people there. They're professional. They are experts in what they do, and that's important to me. I mean, there's a lot of great connections. Some of the best referral partners that I have right now have come out of your event. Wes is a great referral source, and I've been able to do a lot of work with his office in Duluth, and we're doing like a monthly call-out night, which is great for our agency. And there's other mortgage groups there that I've been able to connect with and work with. They're getting lots of good referrals from realtors there that we've met. It's been a great source of good quality referrals for our agency.
Well, that's great. One of the reasons, Brian, and I do Real Estate Connections is we want a place where there's positive, like-minded people that want to do business. And so
yes,
we do things to make that happen. So before I kind of wrap things up and give everybody an opportunity to share how, if somebody wants to get in contact with them, is I just really want to reiterate, we are so excited about our 2-year anniversary. Today, Roberto Salomon, who's president of NAREP, has done a YouTube that you're going to see a lot on Facebook, a lot on LinkedIn, and I'm going to be sending. But they're sending the invitations to all of their folks. We're sending to all of our contacts. So if you have not been, I'd love for you to see this video, some pictures from the last events, and see the excitement of what we've got going on. And if you're not sure, after you've heard these wonderful people here today, then just you call them and they'll tell you. The other thing is I want to remind people is at the end of the event, which is from 6 to 9 at Asia, we do reserve a private room up there for dinner, and it's limited seating. It holds about 45 or 50 people. I know that everybody who is here will be there, and it's another way of spending some quality time. When you've got 250, 300, 350 people, you can't meet everybody, and there's something about when you break bread and you're sitting across from somebody, you get more quality time. And I tell people, if you're going to spend a few hours, don't cheat yourself to spend an extra hour to have dinner and be able to really cement some of the relationships. So I invite people to do that. The other thing, every month I do feature a different real estate office. And if you're out there and you're interested, I'm booked through January. I try to keep a couple months ahead. But February and on, I do have some spaces going forward. So this time, I'm going to give everybody kind of a chance to give their contact information. Again, everybody here will be at Real Estate Connections, will be staying for dinner, and I can tell you that these are three quality people that I feel very fortunate to know, and both personally and professionally. So, Bev, talk about, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
The best place to reach me is on my cell phone, and that number is 404-915-7869. They can also email me at real easy, Beverly, Beverly, at kw.com. And then if you anyone is interested in contacting me about Women Council of Realtors, please do so at either one of those numbers. And you can also go on to WCR.org, and you can read all about Women Council of Realtors, and you can also apply for a membership there as well.
And I know that if anybody has any questions, you will have membership information application at Real Estate Connection, so that would be a great place to for them to see you and get information.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right, Wesley, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Easiest way to get in touch with me is myself, and also my number is 470-233-1006. Now, something to tell you about this area code. It's a new Duluth, Georgia area code. No one knows that.
Ah.
And so if you call me from the landline and you dial 1, it will tell you it's a non-working number. And many people think they're calling Orlando, Florida. So
I got you. That's 407, I think.
Yeah, that's 407. Okay. So again, my number is 470-233-1006. And you can also email me at wesley.boyd@wellsfargo.com. W-E-S-L-E-Y. B-O-Y-D, wellsfargo.com.
And I know if anybody's looking for home mortgages or has any questions, they can come see you at Real Estate Connection. Yeah. You'd be happy to answer any questions.
Absolutely.
Ashley, how does somebody get a hold of you?
You can call my cell directly, 770-846-0342. You can email me at ashleytesta@allstate.com. That's A-S-H-L-E-Y. T-E-S-T-A at allstate.com. And you can also contact the agency directly at 770-952-7385.
Awesome. And Real Estate Connections, as a reminder, it is our 2-year anniversary. We are excited. October 4th from 6 to 9 at Asia. If you want to stay for dinner, let me know. You can find Real Estate Connections on both LinkedIn, the group Real Estate Connections, ATL. We're on Facebook, Real Estate Connections, ATL. If you have any questions or you want to get a hold of me, Peter Pasternak, my cell is 404-275-8087. Again, 404-275-8087. Or you can email me at peter@foundationsllc.com. That's peter@foundations with an S, LLC.com. Well, I want to first of all thank my three guests, Beverly Finello, Wesley Boyd, Ashley Testa. It's been great having you guys here. We're looking forward to seeing everybody again next Thursday at Real Estate Connections.